Let me once again say good morning to everyone who has made it out, and it's good to see so many turned out despite the cold weather that's on the outside. I want to express my deep and profound gratitude to the leadership of this congregation for extending a warm invitation to me to be here to worship with you and to be the one that will bring a message from the Word of God. And I've always say wherever I go, I hope that at the end we all may say that it was good for us to have been here. This morning we want to continue the lesson that we were looking at, because this is a series of lessons that I have put together, and this morning's lesson was the first and this one is the second in the series. But just to recap some of the things that we have said for the benefit of those who might not have been in that class, what we said is we were dealing with the lesson how to deal effectively with temptations, and several principles were stated that if we recognize these principles, if we believe these principles, if we follow these principles, then we will be able to handle temptation very effectively. One of the first things that we pointed out this morning is that we need to recognize and accept that we are living in a real world, and in a real world, things will not always go right. And therefore, problems as they come, if we recognize this, should not take us by surprise, but it is something that we should have expected. The second thing that we looked at this morning is that we need to understand clearly in our own minds what temptation is. And we defined it in several ways, and one of the things that we said is that if we just watch our desires and how we are going about satisfying those desires, we can defeat Satan. Then we looked at 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse number 13, where we looked at five basic principles that we need to keep in mind as we deal with temptation. Number one, temptation is a common experience. Number two, God is faithful. Number three, that God will never allow us to be tempted above what we are able. Number four, but he will provide a way of escape. And number five is that we will be able to bear it. And so as we continue our study of this important subject, it is important that we realize from the very beginning, we need to realize that the attitude, yes, the attitude that we display is very important in handling temptations. Did you get that? Our attitude is of vital importance. James, in chapter 1 of the book and verse number 2, James put it this way as he tells us about the kind of attitude that we must have. He says, "Count it all joy." Do you see that in James chapter 1 and verse number 2? "Count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations." Now, James is not saying that we must just go through trials and tribulation with a smile on our face as if nothing is. No, that's not what James is talking about when he says, "Count it all joy." James is saying that our disposition is of vital importance, that we need to have a positive attitude. We need to have a proper mindset. "Count it all joy," James says. "Regard it as a thing to rejoice in, a matter which should afford us happiness." Count it all joy. Do not consider it as a punishment. You know, some people consider trials and tribulation as a form of punishment, but it is not. "Count it all joy. Do not consider it as a punishment. Don't see it as a curse, Don't look upon trials and temptation as a calamity. But do you not realize that James is not the only apostle that tells us the kind of disposition and mindset and attitude that we need to have? James says, count it all joy. But he's not the only one. In the book of Matthew chapter 5, if you will turn to it and place your eyeball in God's word and read it for yourself, in that book, Jesus Christ encouraged his followers that this is what he says, blessed are ye. Do you not see that? He says when you are reviled, when you are persecuted, and when you go through all of these trials and tribulation, he says what? Rejoice and be exceedingly glad. Now keep in mind, this is not saying that we must have a smile on our face all the time, but it is talking about our attitude, our disposition, our mindset. How do we face temptation? How do we look at it? Paul jumps in, and Paul also tells us that we need to rejoice. In Romans chapter 5 and verse number 3, there the apostle Paul talking to the church at Rome, and this is what he says. But not only so, Paul says, we what? We glory in tribulation also. Well, how can one glory in tribulation? We're going to see how that is done. So James says, count it all joy. Jesus says, rejoice and be exceedingly glad. Paul says that we must glory in what? In tribulation. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9 and 10, the apostle Paul there speaking to the church at Corinth tells us again about the attitude that we must display when things are not going right. He says this in verse 9 and 10, and I just pick a phrase out. He says, most gladly therefore will I glory in my infirmities. Most of the time when we're going through difficulties in life, we go through difficulties with a long face. We go through difficulties as if we are the only one, but God wants us to have the right attitude, the right disposition, the right mindset. And so James says, glory in tribulation. Jesus says, rejoice in tribulation. Paul says, we glory in tribulation. Paul says, I will glory in my infirmities. Peter also jumps in and tells us that we need to have the right disposition, for in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 6 and 7, he says what? Wherein? I want for you to see that. Wherein you what? Greatly rejoice. He's talking about tribulation, trials, and temptation. But he says you should rejoice in it. In 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 13 through 16. Again, the apostle Peter says, but we rejoice in tribulation. Now, brethren, friends, that is the attitude that God wants every child of God to have when we're going through difficult times. When things are not working out. When the children are driving us up the wall. When we have been fired from our jobs and we don't know where the next penny is going to come from. Isn't that right? Am I talking to somebody this morning? Yeah. Have you ever been through trying situation? Troubling times that would cause you to worry? God is saying that we must display the proper attitude if we are going to go through it successfully. So the question is, how? How can one maintain a positive attitude? How can one display the positive disposition or mindset in the face of adversity? How is that possible? Because adversity is not something that you're just going, well, okay, everything is all right. The Lord will provide. No. When the kids need food to eat, it's a cause for concern. Isn't that right? When you're going through all kinds of problems, these are situations that would cause great concern. And you sure can smile through those situations. But God wants us to have the right attitude. Now, how can we maintain the right attitude? Now, the Bible makes it plain that to have the right attitude, the right disposition, the right mindset in the face of adversity, it is dependent upon what you see. It is dependent upon what you know. It is dependent upon what you understand that is happening to you. I think I've said something here, and I need to repeat that again. How do we maintain the proper attitude? It is all dependent upon what you see in the problem. It is all dependent upon what you know that is happening to you. It is what you understand that is happening to you. You see, we all talk to ourselves, whether you want to believe it or not. Many people say that people who talk to themselves are crazy. But I'm here to give you some good news. When you're going through problems and you begin to talk to yourself, it's a sign of sanity. And psychologists the world over will tell you that we all need to talk to ourselves. And it is what you see in the problem that is going to determine your attitude. Let me try to illustrate this as best as I can. If you get a call today, you go home. And the call is not a prank call. It's real. It's legitimate. The CRA calls you and tell you that you have won $1 million. No, it's real. It's not prank. But you must be at a particular place tomorrow at 12 o'clock. If you are not there at 12 o'clock, you will forfeit your winnings. That's the condition. Wouldn't you be happy? Wouldn't you smile? Wouldn't you, be excited? You'd jump and hit the roof. But come tomorrow, as you're dressing yourself, and the rain, snow, roads are inundated. You can't pass because the snow overnight has prevented traffic. They've blocked all the traffic. How would you feel? You would be very sad. You would be miserable. You would be angry with the snow. What? Why now? The time passes. You're sad. But if you get another prank call that tells you that someone is coming to your house, and it is not a joke, it's real. And they're going to kill you, they're going to kill your mama, they're going to kill your daddy, they're going to kill your children, they're going to kill all your families, and they are going to be there at 12 o'clock tomorrow. But when tomorrow comes, the same snow falls heavily. Roads are inundated. Nobody can pass from Milton to anywhere else because all the exits are blocked. And you look at your clock and it's getting closer to 12. How would you feel? How would you feel? You would feel very good. Because nobody can get to you. It is the same snow, but it is what you see that is going to happen. It is what you understand that is going to happen that determines your attitude. This is a psychological approach to life. And if you go to any psychologist or psychiatrist, they'll tell you the same thing. But I'm here to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, that the Bible is the greatest psychological book there is. If we just read it and understand it and follow it, we can rid ourselves of the stress. We can rid ourselves of the strain. We can rid ourselves of frustration. We can rid ourselves of heartache. We can rid ourselves of everything that is negative and have a positive attitude. It depends on what you see. It depends on what you know. Get back with me to the book of James. To the book of James, and we're going to see that James approached life with the same psychological perspective. James says in chapter 1 and verse number 2, "My brethren, count it all joy." If you place your eyeball in God's word, you will see it. "Count it all joy when you fall" where? "Into" what? "Diverse" or various or different types of temptation. Count it all joy. How is it, James, that we can have this attitude? How is it that we can have this mindset? How is it that we can have this disposition in life? Look at the next verse. James says, "Knowing this." Do you not see that? It is what you know. It is what you understand. It is what you see at the end that is going to determine your present disposition. "Knowing this," that what? "The trying" or "the testing of your faith" produce what? Patience. James says it all depends on what you know. James says it depends on what you see. James says it depends on what you understand. You see, there are many things that we need to see when we go through trials and temptations in life that I will not have time to discuss this morning, but I just want to mention a few of them. But there is one, however, that we need to look at. When we are going through trials and temptation, we need to understand that trials and temptations are only temporary. They're not permanent. They come and they go. We need to understand that trials and temptation, that not only are they temporary, but there is a blessing that comes out of going through these things. That's number two. Don't have time to deal with that. We need to see and understand that the eternal reward when we persevere, when we go through temptation. We need to understand that going through trials and temptation is the means of identifying ourselves with Jesus Christ. These are 4 or 5 points that we just don't have time. In other words, if I was like the Apostle Paul, I'd preach until midnight. Can I do that this morning? Oh, no, not midnight. But these are things that we need to see and understand as we go through temptations. But here's the thing that I want to leave with you this morning. One important thing. When we go through trials and temptation, we need to see this. That God is molding us into what we ought to be. That we can never, ever in this life be what God wants us to be unless we go through temptation. James says, "Knowing this, that the trying of your faith is going to produce patience in the end." You see, going through temptations, God is able, and we're going to see this in the Bible, to rid us of all the impurities that are in our lives. Going through temptation, God is molding us and helping us to develop the kind of qualities that He wants us to develop, the kind of persons that He wants us to be. We can only be that as we go through the testing process of trials and temptations. Most of us have been to school, and school has been very hard, isn't that right? And those who have gone on to higher levels of education will realize that it is even more difficult. But why do we pursue it just the same way? Why do we burn the candles at night and have sleepless night and prepare for exam? It is because of what we know, that at the end come the graduation, isn't that right? Which is a glorious moment. And after graduation, we will be qualified to go out there into the job market and to find a reasonable job. Isn't that right? It is because of what you know. That's why we go through what we go through from the educational perspective. Because of what you know. The Bible is saying the same thing. So James says, you want patience? You want to learn how to control your temper? You want to know how to handle yourself? You got to realize that that end result cannot be attained unless you pass through the fire. That's what God says. And if you know that, that the end result is going to be good, then you can have a positive attitude, a proper disposition, the right mindset, because as we go through this, we know that in the process, God is doing something to me. God is doing something for me. God is doing something by me. And at the end result, I am going to come out for the better. James was not the only one who believed this principle that is sound psychologically. James was not the only one. Paul says in the book of Romans chapter 5, let us turn to that and place our eyeball on God's word. Romans chapter 5 and verse number 3 following. Listen to what Paul says. Not only so, do you see that? If you place your eyeball on God's word, you'll see it. Not only so, but we also what? Glory. Do you not see that in your Bible? In tribulation. But how can we glory in tribulation? Again, the Apostle Paul says, look at what he says. Knowing, do you not see that in your Bible? It is what you know. It is what you see. It is what you understand that is going to determine your disposition. Paul says, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance, character, and character, hope. And hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Do you not see the chain effect? Yeah? One thing leads to another. And the end result is you standing before the Almighty God with a godly character. Do you not see that? True trials and tribulations and temptation, God is still working on us. God allow us to go through the various trials and temptation in order to mold us. God allow us to go through all of this, not only to mold us, but to rid ourselves of the undesirable qualities and to develop the godly characteristics. Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 6 and 7. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 6 and 7. That God allows us to go through this. And if you can see this, brethren, then you will be happy when things don't go right, because you know that God is in the mix, cutting away that anger from my life. God is in the mix, cutting away those ungodly and unchristlike qualities that we have. God is working on us. How you look at it is of vital importance. And so in 1 Peter, chapter 1 and verse 6, the Bible says, in this you greatly rejoice. Watch this now. Watch this. In this you what? Greatly rejoice. Though now for a little while, if indeed you have been grieved by various trials. That watch this now. The genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than that of gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to the praise, do you not see that in your Bible? To the honor and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. In other words, your faith will be tested, and like gold that passes through the fire to remove all the impurities. Are you with me this morning? I looked up, you know, how gold is purified, and it is a rigorous thing. You might think that they're trying to destroy it, but it has to go through the fire for the impurities. Are you with me this morning? For the dross to be removed, and at the end of it you have this beautiful, you know, diamond, or you know, that we now wear on our finger. And the ladies just like to show it, you know, especially when they just get married. Oh yes, my face is scared. They just want you to see it. But for it to reach that stage, it had to go through the fire. Are you with me? God is saying that your faith will be tested, in order for it to come out without any impurities and be perfect. But that can never happen until we go through some trials and temptation. So if we know this, when it comes, we can recognize, as the songwriter says, "He's still working on me." Do you know that song? It took him just a week to make the moon and the stars, the sun on the earth and Jupiter and Mars, but he is still working on me. What a wonderful thing. What reason do we have to rejoice in the Lord? For we are now identifying ourselves with the suffering of Jesus Christ. Are you with me this morning? Now you know why you can smile, because of what you know. Yeah? It is what you see. It is what you understand. Temptation should not make us bitter, but it should make us better. Temptation was not designed to hurt. It was designed to help. Temptation should not be seen as a burden, but it must be seen as a blessing. Temptation was not designed to weaken our faith in God, but it was designed to strengthen our faith in Jesus Christ. And so as I try to bring this lesson, I don't know how much minutes I have, but I'm set to go until midnight tonight. Is that all right with you? You know, I'm set to go. You know, our biblical example for that, the Bible says that Paul preached until midnight. But then one brother said, we didn't know what time he started. All right. But turn with me to the book of 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4. All right. 1 Peter chapter 4. And I want for us to read several verses here as we place our eyeball on God's word. Again, Peter says, but rejoice to the extent. Watch this now. Rejoice to the extent that you are what? Partakers of Christ's suffering. Isn't that right? That when the glory is revealed, you may be glad with exceeding joy. Do you not see that? In other words, there is no comparison with what you are going through now with what you are going to receive at the end. Do you not see that? In other words, if you know that, then you can go through what you're going through now, because you know that at the end, it would have been worth it when we stand on that great day that is called judgment. And we hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy that has been prepared for you before the foundation of the world, and you are able to look back. There is no comparison you may also be glad with exceeding joy. But listen to what he said. If you are reproached for the name of Christ, blessed, happy are you. For the Spirit of glory, what a wonderful thing. This is something that we never normally think about, but we have God's Spirit resting us. And some, the proof is as we walk with God, the Spirit of God's glory rests upon you. On their part, he's blasphemed, but on your part, he's glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer. Let none of you suffer as a thief or an evildoer, a busybody in other people's matter. Yet, if any man suffer, watch this now, if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this matter. Brethren,
we can have the right disposition. We can have the right attitude. We can have the right mindset in the face of trials and persecution if you know certain biblical truth. And the one that I have tried to emphasize this morning is the fact that when we're going through it, God is molding us. God is tempering us. God is cutting away those impurities, those ungodly qualities. It is his way of molding. Do you know that? Then when trials and temptation comes, you can be like the Apostle Paul. Isn't that right? In prison in Acts 16, 25. In prison, and the Bible tells us, how can you be in prison and have a smiling face? But the Bible says that they sang praises and the prisoners heard them. Do you not see that? When you have the right disposition, you become a light to the world. When you have the right disposition and knowing that God is working on you, you not only are able to sing songs, and may I say that God's people have always been a people who sing during hard times. If you go back in the Old Testament and you look at how God's people operate, you will find that, you know, as an example, when they crossed the Red Sea, Miriam burst out in songs. Isn't that right? When the Ark of the Covenant came back into Jerusalem, isn't that right? David danced. You know, that Micah, Saul's daughter, saw him and she despised him. Listen to me, God's people have always been singing, have been singers, because when we sing, it lifts our soul. When we sing during trials and temptation, it draws us closer to God. It causes us to focus on him who is able to do all things. Isn't that right? We begin to recognize that the strength is not in me, but it is in the Lord. Because greater is he that is in me that is in the world. We recognize that, Lord, I can't do it by myself, but with your help, with you beside me. For he has said, I will never leave you and I will never forsake you, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper and I will not fear. Do you not see, when you begin to see the right thing, the Bible says, so that we might what? Boldly. Not cowardly, not feebly, but boldly say, the Lord is my helper. David says that though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Because thou art. It's what you see. What do you see when you're going through trials and temptation? James says, knowing that the trying of your faith produces patience. Paul says, we glory in tribulation because we know. And he gives you a domino effect. And that at the end of that effect, you begin to be like Jesus Christ. The Bible says, be ye holy, for I am holy. But that process is not an overnight process. God got to do some working on you. God got to do some molding. God has to do some stripping. And God, in his wisdom, has decided to do that by allowing us to go through trials. So the next time, as I bring this to a close, the next time things not going right, lift your head up high and say, hallelujah, anyhow. Do we know that little song? Hallelujah, anyhow. Never let the devil turn you down. When life trials come your way, lift your head up high and say, hallelujah, anyhow. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And the things of this earth will grow strangely dim in the light and glory and grace. Jesus says it best. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse number 7. Cast all your cares upon me. Isn't that what he says? Because he cares. If you're here today and you're not a child of God, and you're saying, listen, meow, I want that proper attitude, Jesus can help you. You just need to come believing, come repenting, come confessing, and to be baptized for the remission of your sins. If you're here today and you are a child of God, but you know that your life has not been what God wants it to be, today is that moment, is that day when you can decide in your mind, I'm going to take another grip on my Lord and my Savior. I'm going to walk a little closer to him. I'm going to try to follow him. And I'm going to try to look at temptation the way I ought to look at it and see what God wants me to see so I can have the proper attitude. Thank you.